Last weekend, I went to the funeral of Pastor Johann, and I chose to drive there. You know, I chose to drive there. And when I got there, when they found out that I drove there, they go, you know, if you needed money, you know, that's what they told me, if you needed money for a plane ticket, I would have gave it to you. And finance wasn't the reason, but I just want to have a long time. It was 11 hours there and 11 hours back, coming back. But, you know, I needed that a long time, especially after the funeral. But that 22-hour that I drove, I must have listened to 30 sermons. You know, there's like 30 different messages that I listened to. And I was listening to Derek Prince, and this message is inspired by what I heard during the drive there. And the title is "My Sheep Hears My Voice." Okay, "My Sheep Hears My Voice," and the main text is from John chapter 10, verse 27. John chapter 10, verse 27. "My sheep listens to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." And the church said, okay. You know, when you look at scripture and when you look at history of people, history of, you know, a human history, God works through different ages in different way through human history. And, you know, theological term, when you look at scripture and when you see that, in scripture, is called dispensation, right? Dispensation. It's a period of time that God dealt with his people in different ways, okay? And, you know, there's, some of you know dispensational theology. I do see the, you know, different ages, different time in history in the Bible. God works differently in his people. But what I don't like about dispensational theology is that what they will tell you, God has stopped doing supernatural work. It has stopped after the book of Acts. I don't agree with that. That's not, I don't think that's biblical, and I don't agree with that. But I do see a different dispensation, different period of time in the Bible that God works in a different way to his with his people. And so what we see is the age of patriarch. You know, nowadays, you know, there's such a negativity to patriarch, but in the Old Testament time, that was the whole culture. is a patriarchal society. And during this dispensation, God moved through the family. Okay? During this time, the Lord was referred to as God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay? God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the covenant promise was first made to Abraham, and then confirmed to his son Isaac, and then to Isaac's son Jacob. Okay, you see this in scripture. And then we see a different period, a different dispensation where Israel is under the law. Okay? And God dealt with Israel as a nation now, as a nation under the law. And under the law, it was during this time Israel had a temple, the sacrificial system, and the priesthood. And you also see, you know, different time, God working through judges, God working through prophets, too. Okay? And then what we, this age that we're in, is this new in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? You see the new work of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you look at the Old Testament, what you see is the patriarch, you know, and the law all points to Jesus. That's what the Bible says. It's pointing to Jesus. And the book of Hebrew shows that Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God's love and mercy and is worthy of our devotion. Jesus, in the book of Hebrew, it says Jesus is superior to all the other dispensation. Okay? He is greater than the angel, he's greater than the Torah, he's greater than Moses, the priest, the Melchizedek, the sacrifice, the old covenant. Right? It's a new covenant now. It's an age of new covenant. And Jesus is God's word, the hope for new creation, our eternal priest, and the perfect sacrifice. He's the perfect sacrifice.
Now, so you see the different dispensations from the Old Testament to the New Testament, right? You see the different ages, and we see the different requirements of God, but in the Old Testament and New Testament, there's something that does not change, right? That does not change. And what is this consistent requirement for the people of God? It is that his people will hear the voice of God, okay? That his people will hear the voice of God. Now, you know, and I was studying the passages, and even a lot of translators, they're scared to write down the voice of God, you know? They're pretty scared to write it down. So they'll say commandment of God. But many, there are passages in scripture, it's more literal to say voice of God. Okay? And you know, when God's people were in the wilderness and the water was too bitter to drink, Moses prayed and God showed him a piece of wood, and Moses threw that wood in the water and the water became fit to drink. And God gave this instruction in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. This is the NIV version. And it says, if you listen carefully to the Lord, but if you look at the translation, it should be, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his command and keep all his decree. But I believe it's not pay attention, it's a more literal translation to say if you give ears to his commandment, if you give his, so like, the King James Version and the New American Standard, what it says is this, okay? If you listen to the voice of the Lord, okay? If you give ears, it doesn't say your mind, you know, it doesn't say your hand or any other part of the body, but your ears. If you give ears to his command and keep all his statutes, I will not bring on you any of the disease I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Okay, I am the Lord who, if you listen and give ears to the voice of God, there will be, this passage that there will be a separation as there was between Egypt and Israel. Okay? Instead of plagues, sickness, problems, and destruction, there will be healing, protection, and blessing. Okay? And then when you turn to Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, the New American Standard Bible. Again, I love NIV translation. I love NIV translation. I do that. I use it all the time. But, you know, it's translated by human being. And so there's no perfect translation, you know. No perfect translation. And, you know, but I believe that New American Standard Bible, you know, is more literal. They put it more literal. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. So it says, if his people obey, God says, my voice, if you listen to the voice of the Lord, hearing the voice of God is one clear sign that you are God's people. Okay? Hearing the voice of God is what will make you different from all other nations. This is what the passage is saying. Right? In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 to 2, I used the King James Version, and I haven't, you know, read the King James, so I'm not used to it, but this is what it says. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken, and that's another translation for that word is listen, thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandment which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. In verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken, that thou shalt listen unto the voice of the Lord, your God, thy God. Okay, thy God. So, if you hearken, if you listen to the voice of the Lord, your God, you will receive blessings. And list all this blessing from, you know, we don't have to turn to it, but verse 3 to 14, you can check that out.
It says you will be blessed wherever you are. Your life will be fruitful. You will overcome your enemies. You will always succeed. You will be His holy people. In other passages, it says if you listen to the voice of the Lord, you will be healed. You'll be healed. Okay? And in verse 15, gives the opposite picture. If you do not listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and then there's, you know, listing the curses that will overtake God's people. Okay? I'm not turning to this passage, but in Jeremiah chapter 7, God says, when He brought the nation out of Israel, the nation of Israel out of Egypt, and He spoke to them, but that passage says He wasn't speaking about burnt offering and sacrifice. There was something more important that God required of His people. It says, obey My voice, and I will be your God, and you will be My people. Okay? You'll be My people. And we see this in the Old Testament, and then you come to the New Testament. When you turn to John chapter 10, you know, it's not going to be up there, but verse 3 to 5, it says, the sheep, God's people, listens to His voice. Okay, it doesn't say read the Bible. It says listens to His voice. Jesus calls His own sheep. The sheep follow Him and because they know His voice. One very unique thing about voice, every voice is unique. Did you know that? There's computers out there that we have this technology now. Just by your voice, they could identify you. Okay? And every voice is out of, I guess, 7 billion people. Every voice is unique. And what the Bible says is you got to learn how to discern God's voice. There's many voices you're going to hear. Many, many voices. But you got to learn to discern God's voice. Because it says here, sheep will not follow a stranger's voice because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And so nowadays, I believe we're not being biblical. We're doing the opposite of what the Bible says. We're so scared to hear the voice of God. They go, it doesn't happen anymore. That's what some theologians say. It doesn't happen anymore. We're so scared that we might get it wrong. But what the Bible says is you got to learn to hear the voice of God so that then you'll be able to discern the stranger's voice. Did you hear what I said? You have to learn to discern the voice of God. Okay? You know? Then you will be able to discern the enemy's voice, the stranger's voice. Okay? But we, you know, I see that with the translators at the bottom. They're scared to say voice of God. They say commandment of God. They're scared to translate that more literally. You know, but no, the Bible says, okay, there are a lot of lies out there. There's a lot of heresies out there. There's, you know, many false prophets out there. But how do you know the voice of a stranger and the voice of God? You have to learn how to discern the voice of God as His people. As His people. You know, if you love somebody, you recognize their voice. Did you know that? You know, you go home, you know, moms, you recognize their, it was amazing. I remember one meeting, you know, it was so noisy with different kids. And you know, there was a baby cry. One mom said, that's my child. That's my child. I couldn't tell, but a mom could discern the cry of her own baby. Right? Why? Because love. If you love the Lord, you can discern His voice. Amen? You know, and in verse 16, John chapter 10, it says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to My voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Now, Jesus is talking about, you know, this was the Christians and Hebrew Christians, but He says there's other sheeps in other nations outside of Israel, and I'm going to bring them in.
And how do you know that they're real believers from other nation?
They shall hear God's voice. This is the distinctive mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ. This verse also talks about Christian unity. There will become one, that one flock. There will be one flock, the Bible says. And we all once say, oh, we need to be more unified. We need to be one, you know. And how are we going to be unified? It's not through denomination. The Bible doesn't say, do denomination. It doesn't say denomination. It's not through doctrine or theological discussion. It comes down to us in this passage. It says, hearing the voice of God. If a church, in the church, we could hear, every member could hear the voice of God, we will be unified. Okay? We will be unified. It's just the fact that we hear so many other voices and we listen to other voices. And how is each part of the body going to fit and work? I'm not smart enough to know how to do that. I'm not. I'm not wise enough to know how to put everything together. But God does. Okay? He does. And He has a strategy. He has a calling. Okay? And He has everything worked out. But it's not going to happen if you can't hear His voice. If you can't hear His voice. Okay? And so... So the main text is John chapter 10, verse 27. It sums it up. It says, my sheep listen to my voice. Okay? I know them and they follow me. Okay? What's the mark of a disciple in this verse? You hear his voice, he knows you, and you follow him. Okay? In this passage, the mark of a disciple is not being in a denomination, is not being a Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, or Pentecostal, or Assembly of God. Jesus says believers will know from, they will be, even though they're from different background and different places, what singles them out, is that they hear the voice of the Lord, Jesus knows them, and they follow him, I'm not trying to offend you, This John chapter 10, verse 27 doesn't say, my sheep reads the Bible. Okay? That's not what it said. It doesn't say, my sheep reads the Bible. Now, you know me, Studying, meditating, memorizing, reading, and obeying the Bible is super duper important for Christian life, This is a non-negotiable for a Christian. And I could find you many, many passages in Scripture that confirms this truth. But, so reading and knowing and obeying Scripture, the Bible is essential, but the Bible also says hearing His voice is essential. Hearing the voice of God is essential. And again, I don't know, we got to be biblical. Again, a lot of translators, especially conservative translators, they just want to group reading the Bible and the voice of God into one thing. Follow His commandment. When it says listen to His voice. But I believe, as I study the Scripture, because again, everything goes through the Scripture. You understand everything. And even about the voice of God, the Bible talks about it. Studying the Scripture and hearing the voice of God, the Bible makes it distinct. There's a distinction. And so in Greek, in the New Testament, there's two distinctive Greek words for word. There's a Greek word called logos and rhema. Logos and rhema. Now, when in the Bible they use the word logos, it's a very deep meaning. It's a very deep meaning. It is very comprehensive. It represents the mind of God, the counsel of God, and God's total purpose.
And in the Old Testament, I believe this is what it's trying to say, the word logos in Psalm 119, verse 89. Okay? Psalm 119, verse 89. Your word, I believe in Hebrew is trying to say the Greek word logos. Okay? Your word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Right? And John chapter 1, verse 1, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was Logos, and the Logos was with God, and Logos was God. Okay? And this is what it's trying to communicate in this passage, the word Logos. Okay? The New Testament also used Rhema for the Word. Okay? Word, Rhema. And sometimes Rhema and Logos, there's an overlap. Okay, but the word Rhema usually means spoken word. Okay, not the written word, eternal word, but spoken word. Okay, Rhema, that's what that usually means, spoken word. So when you see Matthew 4, verse 4, okay, Matthew 4, verse 4, okay, I'm doing a lot of teachings here, okay, and Matthew 4, verse 4, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Okay? And but on every rhema that comes, it is in that context, mouth of God. From the mouth of God. Okay? Spoken word that comes from the mouth of God. If you learn to hear God's voice, Jesus is kind of saying, it's like the daily bread, okay? You know the bread that you ate 12 hours ago? It doesn't help you anymore. Did you know that? Huh? The bread that you ate a month ago, it doesn't help you. But what is this daily bread? He's talking about the spoken word where God will speak to you now. Now, where you are. Okay, where you are. Yeah? Not just something written that was written hundreds of years ago or 1,000 years ago. Every day, God wants to speak to you, okay? You know, and God speaks to you at the present, now, today, okay? Today, and it's personal. He wants to make it personal, and you need to be able to hear the spoken word of God to make it personal. Okay. There's another passage that used the word Rhema. John, I didn't realize this, you know. But Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, faith. How many of you want to be more faithful? Okay. We all want to grow in faith, right? Faith is very important. Without faith, we can't please God. Faith comes from reading. No, it says from hearing. Okay. People take that as, Pastor Sam preached. No, it's not just that. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word. You know, the better translation, word of Christ. Word of Christ, okay? And NIV translated word about Christ, okay? Faith comes from hearing. Yes, faith is developed by knowing biblical truth, okay? And obeying the biblical truth. But here it is Rhema that says it also builds faith. The spoken word of God, hearing the voice of God, builds faith. Okay? Builds faith. You guys getting this? Okay. Why is it important to learn to hear the voice of God? I want to talk about that. Why is it important? Now, I'm going to use the illustration that makes Christians more comfortable. Okay? But this has happened to all of you. It has happened to me many, many times when the Word of God, the written Word of God, becomes Rhema. Where it directly speaks to you. Okay? Where this, there are times I would just open the Bible and the verse will just leap out on me. It'll just leap out. Okay? And some verse will be just highlighted. And when it becomes Rhema, okay, a lot of theologian is just information, the Bible. it's not personal. When it becomes rhema, it is personal. Okay? It is for the present. The Word of God is beyond information, just scholarly work. It's beyond just studying it and discipline. You see, when the written Word of God becomes rhema, and this, you know, I used this illustration, many of you have experienced this. You know, this happens to me all the time. When, you know, it becomes personal, it's not just for anyone else. You know, this is for me. It's very personal, right? It is real. It goes very deep. It is relevant to me. It convicts me. Okay? And the spoken word of God is also very dangerous. It's very dangerous. If it's just information, the Bible, the spoken word of God and the written word of God is not dangerous to you. But it, you know, when it becomes rhema, it becomes very dangerous because it requires me to do something about it, about the spoken word of God. It requires me to move, take a risk, take a step of faith. You know, Christianity, you know, we need to get to that place because a lot of times Christianity has become just space and place. Christianity is about this building. It's this church building. It's about the instruments here. You know, it's about the stage. It's about the clothes that we wear. You know, if you go to some church, Christianity is about wearing a suit with a tie. That's what Christianity is. It's about programs and activities. It's about what you can't do and what you can do. All this list of many more stuff you can't do. Huh? And it's about information in the Bible. But, you know, when I look at my life, the greatest transition, greatest change happened in my life because I heard the voice of God. And I chose to obey. When I say voice of God, I don't mean audible. Right? You know, some of you, your spouse, they don't have to talk to you. You know what they're trying to say to you. Okay? You know. You know, nobody else could tell. You know? Husband and wives, you know your spouse when they're happy, when they're upset, even though they don't show it. Okay? Right? You could tell, you know, parents, your kids, you know, they don't have to say anything, they're scared. Right? So it doesn't have to be audible. It doesn't have to be audible, you know? And there are times God spoke directly, very specifically to me. See, when I was in Kenya, without the doubt in my heart that God spoke to me to come back to Central Jersey and start a church. And that church was called Harvest. And I was there for 16 years. Right? And Catalyst, we started 8 years ago. Right? It started 8 years ago. And during that time, I was praying. You know, I used to go every day, almost every day, to this place called IHOP, Eastern Gate. You know, Eastern Gate. I guess they just opened. And because it was open, they said 24 hours a day. I go, whoa, 24 hours a day. You know, they said they had 24-hour prayer, but when I went there was nobody there. And, you know, there never have anybody there. And because it was the beginning, you know, it was the beginning. And I went there, I just prayed and prayed and sought the Lord, sought the direction of God, I wanted to hear his voice. And I felt like God saying, start Catalyst. Right? And it was with this small group of people, and you know, you were there. It's called Acts Church, Acts Church. And you know what God said to me in that prayer? He said, number one, disband the Acts Church. Disband it, right? And start all over fresh with a new name for the church, okay? With a new name for the church, new bylaw, okay? New identity. Right? That's one thing that I got. Second thing I got was tell AMI leaders, Pastor Victor was over at Acts Church, they're not in charge. You know, that's all I got. They're not in charge. Right? You gotta just let this church go. I will oversee this church in the beginning. Okay, you gotta just let it go.
right? And then third thing that I felt God spoke to me about is, okay, if I take over this church as a pastor, we're not going to be in AMI first. I want to get to know AMI for 1 year, and after that year, as the pastor of this church, I decide if we're going to join AMI or not. Right? It's crazy. I go, you know, this is crazy, God. This is really crazy. Who's going to say yes? And even, I said, even the finance or whatever's in the bank, it's ours. You know? We're not going to give it back to AMI. Yeah? You know? All the instrument, we keep it. You know? And I go, who's going to say yes to that? And I got one more thing. You know, I remember Acts Church, that's what the leadership, they got together at Sean and Sue's house. Remember that day? And AMI, one of the AMI leaders was driving me to the meeting with the leadership of Acts Church. And I said, you know, another thing that God convicted me is that I got to tell the leaders that they're not leaders. They're not leaders. We're gonna, okay? They have to step down. We're going to start fresh. And the AMI leader, that was a friend of mine, Pastor Younger, please don't do that. That's what he said. Don't do that. You know, you have, look, you say you want to disband this church and start a new church and then everything, you know, you decide and nobody else could decide in AMI and then and you do you want this and then you're telling the leaders. Like, so while I'm driving, you know, Younger, come on, Sam, just get in the door and then you could change things. Like, I thought about it, that makes sense. And then, another thing that AMI asked is, please don't use the word disband. Can you say relaunch? You know, I thought, okay, I could do that. I could do that. But when I got to the leaders' meeting, I don't know, I felt conviction from God. I go, and I said it. Okay? If you want me to be your pastor, you're not leaders anymore. And I expect, okay, no way. Go, you start your own church, you know? You want too much! That's what I thought they would say. They said, okay. They said, okay. And that's what I heard from the Lord. Yeah? You know, a couple years ago, it was God's, I believe I heard the voice of God. And it said, raise up elder board. Right? But not just that, you know. But this group, it can't be a group that will just follow your agenda, Sam. Okay? It's a group that has to come together and together learn to seek the will of God for the church. Right? And that's what I heard. And that's why we have an elder board now. Right? And I really appreciate you guys. I love you guys, and I really appreciate you guys. And I thank God that I listened, because most pastors, what they do with the elder board is they give pep talk and just try to convince them to follow their agenda. Right? You know, we had a lot of decisions. If you guys don't want this, I don't want it either. Right? Sean? I do that, right? I do that. Yeah? And that's because I heard the voice of God. And then a couple of years ago, too, and this was hard for me because for 5 years as a pastor, you know, as I had more control, you know, well, I put the standard, you know, such a difficult standard to be a member of Catalyst. If you work really hard, you know, did everything that was required, it would take you 6 months to become a member. That's, I think there was one person who did it in 6 months. Some of you, anyway, yeah, it was a lot of requirements, all these requirements, right? And I heard the voice of God. And God says, okay, raise up new people, the new people into leadership, into ministry, in the church. Right? And this was very hard to do because I was the one who made it difficult. It was me. And I did such a great job. The church, the leadership all agreed, you know? Yeah, you know, they agreed with me. But I heard the voice of God, let that go. And to do that, you know,
I had to become much more flexible, more open, give people more opportunity. I had to take chances, right? And I had to also, you know, work through some resistance to do that. But you know what I saw? I heard the voice of God. I obeyed. It is such a blessing. It's such a blessing. I am so thankful. I am blessed. Right? I just picked two examples where I heard the voice of God and I obeyed. But there's a problem. Okay? And it is great when I hear the voice of God and I obey. But I'm going to be very honest with you as a pastor, your pastor. There are times that I ignore the voice of God. There are times. There are times I miss the voice of God. And there are times when God is speaking to me and I don't obey it. And I'm being honest. There are times I disobey the spoken word of God. We have a problem. We have a problem. And this problem is many in the church are very poor at hearing the voice of God. Okay? You see, what happens is we mistake our own voice with the voice of God. We mistake others' voice. You know, people will come up to me, I heard the voice of God. God spoke to me about this. God said this. And they're so excited, and one person don't like it, and they give up. They're hearing others' voice, not God's voice. You know, sometimes we hear the voice of circumstances, the voice of our emotion, voice of lies, voice of demons, and many, you know, including myself, voice of shame, voice of guilt, voice of pride, and not the voice of God. And the Bible says, okay, if you don't hear, if you're not as a church, if we are not as a church, are able to hear the voice of God, okay, God can't bless us. Okay? Instead, the Bible talks about curses. Okay? That God can't bless us. Okay? And so this is the reason. We as a church, this is a requirement not just for pastors or people with prophetic gifts. Right? This is a requirement for all believers. Right? Amen? So next week, that's what I will teach you guys. Right? This is a teaching series, learning to hear the voice of God. Okay, that will be next week. Amen? Let's pray. I want us to worship, but you know, we are more likely, you and I are more likely to respond to stress and pressure and listen to, you know, criticism and opposition. But there are things that's going on in your life that's important to God and that's important to you. And God wants to speak into that area of your life. God wants to speak into that area of your life. Right? And, you know, one of the pastors just said, if you want to hear, he says, you know, in the psalm, be still. Be still. And know that I am God. Right? I think we're like busy ants, you know, without thinking, whether it's just automatic, we just respond to stress. But there are, you know, there are things that's going on in your life that God wants to speak to. You and I have to take the time to hear the voice of God in that area. Okay? So as we worship, why don't you
open up your spiritual ears, your heart, and hear what comes out of the mouth of God.